Good morning, everyone. We're here again, continuing our study of the book of Ephesians. Today we'll be on Ephesians chapter 3. So please turn to that in your Bible. This is where we get seriously into talking about this age of grace in which we live. Not of law, not of condemnation, not of wrath, not of sacrifices of bulls and goats. Those were all Old Testament things. And they had their time and they had their place. But now we are living in the age of grace. So here we go in Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And of course he was a prisoner, because he went to Jerusalem when God told him not to, and he ended up being under house arrest and perhaps other confinement in Rome. But even so, he continued to walk with God and get the revelation for what's often called the prison epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, because he wrote them when he was under arrest in Rome. So he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ, but he is working and acting for the Gentiles. Of course, the Judeans could also listen, but specifically he's talking about the Gentiles, also called the Greeks. These are those who were neither born of the bloodline of one of the tribes of Israel or converted, is what's called a proselyte. So, verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you ward. And that word dispensation could also be translated administration. There are different administrations in the Bible, starting with the original paradise, which ended when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and got thrown out of the garden. Then it's followed by the patriarchal administration, where leaders like Moses and Abraham, or Abraham and then Moses and others, walked with God and told God's people what to do. And then that is followed by the Christ administration, where the words of Christ took preeminence and he was fulfilling the law. And then we get to today, the age of grace. And this will be followed by the appearing or revelation administration, which has the gathering together, the events in the book of Revelation, and then the final paradise administration, where we're in a new heaven and new earth. So God starts with paradise and ends with paradise. And in between, a lot of things happen. But this word dispensation can be called administration. Now, each administration was very different. Like, for instance, as I said, we are not under the Old Testament law. We're not even under some of the rules that Jesus Christ talked about, because they were all fulfilled. We are under what is written in these church epistles, we call them, because they're addressed to the church of God, to those born again, to the saints, which is all of us, and everybody who's been born again since the day of Pentecost, and everybody that will be born again until the Lord returns. Now, we know administrations differ. You just have to look at our government here. This administration is very different than the previous one. And if history is any lesson, the next administration after this one is bound to be very different as well. And then the administration after that might be the same or might change. We don't know. But the point is, under different administrations, you have different rules and different laws. And we argue about it in politics, whether these changes are good or not. But with God's word, we don't argue. We read what it says, we believe it, and we live accordingly. So if you've heard of the administration of the grace of God, and grace, as we've been studying for a few years, is God's favor towards us, is unmerited, meaning we didn't deserve it, divine favor. It's when God does good stuff for us just because he loves us. Similar to the way we would treat a child or a very good friend or somebody we love, we would do good things for them that they didn't deserve. And that is the grace of God. And the more you read, the more you see the amazing things God has done, is doing today, and will continue to do throughout eternity for us. So verse 2, if you've heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul didn't make it up. He wasn't a wonderful theologian or philosopher that had great ideas. There have been good theologians and good philosophers throughout history that had very interesting ideas, some of which have been very helpful to people. But that's not how he got this. By revelation, by God revealing it to him, by the Spirit of God, as we know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, he made known unto me the mystery, something that wasn't known. We know about mysteries. We have mystery books. We have mystery shows on TV. Mystery is where you don't know the answer, and it's sort of befuddling until you finally see the answer. Well, this mystery has been around for millennia, centuries. And the mystery, as we'll get to in a moment, well, I'll just wait till we get to the mystery. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you understand, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And this mystery, verse 5, which in other ages, and the word ages is pretty synonymous with administrations, other periods of time, where God dealt with people differently, which in other ages, other administrations, was not made known unto the sons of men. They knew little bits about it. They had little whispers, little clues, just like when you watch that mystery show. They give you little clues, but you really don't know the conclusion of the mystery, usually till the last few minutes. Well, here we're going to see the mystery, not of why the body is left in the library and who done it. No, it's a much bigger mystery. My mystery, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by what? The Spirit, by God. God put his gift of Holy Spirit upon people, starting at the day of Pentecost. Put it not just upon, but within, born again in this administration. And God, who is Spirit, revealed it to various apostles and prophets, the leaders in the church. Verse 6, what is the mystery? That the Gentiles, those not of Israelite or Judean background, not one of the 12 tribes, not one of those that were called God's chosen people, as they were in the Old Testament administrations, all the outsiders. You see, a lot of people, and again, this gets into government administrations and society and different ethnic groups and different philosophies, a lot of people want to be very exclusive and only let certain people participate in whatever. In our case, could be the economy, could be the job market, could be business, could be all kinds of things. But some people want to have a very exclusive group. Other people want to open up and involve everything. And we see this all the time in society. And it's not what every fight in our country is about right now, but it's one of the big ones. Some people want to include everybody. Some people want to exclude everybody. And you know, and it happened with slavery in our country. Now it's happening with other ethnic groups and immigration. And again, you can argue the pros and cons, but there's two basic approaches. Keep everybody out that's not part of my group, or let everybody in and we'll all be one society. Well, that's just in our society. That's just in this century. Throughout human history, there have been big fights like that continually. For instance, in the Roman Empire, which the first century church took part in, you had three groups of people, and it varied from year to year, but basically A third of the people were Roman citizens with all very similar rights to what we have as American citizens right now. You know, you couldn't be, you know, imprisoned without a trial. You had all kinds of rights. And then there's the freedmen. These were men who were not citizens, but not slaves. They had very few rights, but at least they weren't slaves. And then you had the slaves. Of course, the slaves had no rights at all. They were property. So these are the three groups you had, and that'll be talked about in here. But these are just examples of excluding people or including people. And the mystery is the most inclusive thing that's happened, I believe, in human history. Because you had this small group of Israelites, later called Judeans, or today Jews, small group, and everybody else is a Gentile. So what's that make? Maybe 0.5% of the people or 0.25% of the people in the world were Judeans, and everybody else was a Gentile. And in the Old Testament, God only dealt with the Israelites. Remember in the Gospels where the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, "Will you heal my child?" And he said, "Why should I give the bread meant for the children to dogs?" Because Gentiles were considered like dogs. And this very wise woman said, "Yes, but even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall on the floor." And Jesus Christ said something like, "Boy, your believing is really great. Your child is healed." So even with Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were kept out. Although when he saw somebody that really believed and loved God, he made an exception. And this is something that will show up in my book on the grace of God. There are rules and there are exceptions. And when it comes right down to it, God looks at the heart and he's happy to make an exception if the people believe. Anyway, I'm getting off track a little bit, as I often do. But this is the mystery, that the Gentiles, that 99.9% of the world that is not a Judean, should be fellow heirs with the Jews, and of the same body, because we're all members of the body of Christ. Remember, we got into that in Corinthians, or you'll see it there, that we're all members. And every member, we're all members in particular. You know, and one is not better than the other. You know, that I can't say to the foot, "I don't need you." Or the ear can't say to the eye, "I don't need you." To function as God intended us, we need every part of our body. So we each fulfill a role in the body of Christ. And it's not just the Judeans, it's the Gentiles. Because we're fellow heirs, means that the Judeans inherit a lot from God, so do the Gentiles. And of the same body, if the Judeans can be members of the body of Christ, so can the Gentiles. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So everything God promised through Christ, as recorded in the good news of the scriptures, the Gentiles are fellow heirs. And that's a great mystery, because in the Old Testament law, the Israelites were not even to talk to or associate with the Gentiles. And the reason was very simple. The Gentiles worshiped false gods. And if you spent much time around them, you might end up worshiping false gods too. That's what happened to Solomon. He took on so many wives from so many pagan countries, and a lot of it was done for political reasons. You know, you marry the daughter of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, you marry the daughter from some other country, keeps the peace. If you're married to everybody, it avoids wars. But it also brings foreign gods. And he not only married these women, he built temples for their gods, and he went and worshipped in them. He was so into keeping his wives happy that he worshipped false gods and turned away from the true God. So there were very good reasons in the Old Testament why you were supposed to stay away from Gentiles. But it's different here. Now that we're in the age of grace, the Gentiles can be brought into the body of Christ. Be fellow heirs. Or another translation is, they're heirs with the Jews. They're in the same body with the Jews, and they're partakers of God's promise with the Jews. Incredible. From the New International Version, it reads as follows. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Amazing. What a great mystery. So God is very inclusive. Again, throughout the centuries, including during the Roman Empire, including in our country today, there are those that want to exclude lots and lots of groups that don't agree with them or aren't of the same this, same that, same ethnic background, same religious background, same economic background. There are always people who want to exclude others. And there are people who want to include them. But God wanted to include the Gentiles with the Jews in everything available in Christ. That's, again, why it's the administration of the grace of God. You don't have to follow the Old Testament laws to believe in Christ. God just gives it to you if you simply believe it. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, and he calls himself that, talks about in other sections, because he persecuted the church of Christ. He went from church to church, throwing people into prison, and some of them were killed. And when Stephen was being stoned, he just stood by and took care of the coats and approved the whole thing. So that's why he's called the least of all saints. Of course, he certainly made up for it in the years ahead with the great things he did, winning people to Christ and getting the revelation of epistles like Ephesians. But he still says, unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given. Why was it given? Why did God give him so much that he didn't deserve? Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles. And that was his ministry. God called Peter to lead the church for the Judeans, centered in Jerusalem. Of course, as we know from other studies, James took over, probably just because he was the blood brother of Jesus Christ. And we know nepotism reigns supreme in most cultures and most organizations. But Peter was given that job to the Judeans, and Paul was given the responsibility to minister to the Gentiles. So again, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're so deep, you could search and search and search and never get to the bottom of it. What is that other verse that says somewhere about the love of God, which is unknowable? It's so great to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, or something like that. To know something you can't really know. Well, that's the way the riches of Christ are. They're so deep, you can't. That's why we don't pretend to know all about the Bible. We don't pretend to know everything. We're just thankful for what we do understand. We're happy to share and live it the best we can. But it's unsearchable. So God gave him great grace that he could preach to the Gentiles the riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship. Now in the older Greek manuscripts of the Old Testament, it doesn't say fellowship, it says administration. Because that's what this is talking about. Now, if you look at the notes, you'll see I talk about unseals. The unseals, those are the handwritten Greek manuscripts of the New Testament that are written in all capital letters. Those are the older ones. Later on, they started mass copying these, and they used a cursive version of the Greek alphabet in the later ones. And the later manuscripts tend to be more corrupt because the scribes stuck extra words in them. So the uncials are the older. So the word fellowship is the word administration in the uncials, and the by Jesus Christ is not in the uncials either. So let's read this again. To make all men see what is the fellowship, what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. So this administration of the mystery, it's been hidden. It was a mystery. Again, they got little clues about it that had them thinking, but until it was revealed to Paul and the other leaders in the Christian church in the first century, nobody knew. And then it's who created all things. To make all men see what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God or hid by God, who created all things. So to make all men see what's the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid by God, who created all things. He didn't do it by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hadn't been born yet. You know, the common belief in many Christian circles is that Jesus Christ is co-eternal with God. So he was there when God created the heavens and the earth. He wasn't. He might have been there in God's foreknowledge. God might have planned what he was going to do. Because in Genesis 3, I think, when Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, you know, comments are made that indicate there will be a Messiah. So at least at that point, it was in God's foreknowledge. But the idea that God created the world by Jesus Christ, or with his help, that's just not true. Verse 10. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known, or made known by the church, the manifold, variegated, very complex, with different facets, wisdom of God. So the principalities and powers in heavenly places, often talking about the devil and his host, they are going to learn about the manifold wisdom of God by the church. Wow. Because the church is going to get the revelation from God. They're going to walk with God. The Gentiles are going to get born again. And the devil and his host just can shake their spiritual heads. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He had a purpose. And he purposed it in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he had this plan and he carried it out. In whom? In Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Isn't that amazing? We have boldness and access to God with confidence. I'm going to look at that in a few other translations just for fun. Since we have these very nice tools, the New Living Translation, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. The New International Version, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Wow. Great stuff. So let's look at that again. Verse 12, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and confidence by the faith of him. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. He was going through a lot of mental pressures, a lot of challenges. He was a prisoner. Just don't faint at it. My tribulations for you, which is your glory. I'm willing to go through all this and still write to you. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so who's he bowing his knees to? To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. For this cause, verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's why we speak in tongues. That's why we operate the manifestations. That's why we pray and read the word, to be strengthened with the inner man. Now, it's good to keep the outer man healthy. It's good to eat well, exercise, do what your doctor tells you, pray for health and strength. That's great. But the inner man is where your life really is. So the more you can strengthen the inner man by speaking in tongues, operating the manifestations, meditating on the word, the better off and happier your life will be. Because everything else is going to come and go. You know, circumstances will come and go. As we said, administrations of the government will come and go. Stuff in the economy will come and go. Friends will come and go. Family members will come and go. The weather will change. That car you loved will fall apart. Your refrigerator will make noise. The dryer will squeak. All kinds of things will happen. But in the inner man, that's where life is great. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, we have Christ in us. We just got to believe it and use it. And the result is, since Christ is in our hearts, that you, being rooted and grounded in judgment, hatred, pointing fingers at those evil people that don't agree with your church, no? That you, being rooted and grounded in love. Because remember, the great first and great commandment, love God. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. Very, very important. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, understand with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That's four dimensions. Now, we know in the physical world, there's only three. You know, breadth, length, and either depth or height. But to have all four, it's one of those great mysteries. I don't know what it means. Everybody has an opinion on it, but I don't know what it means. So we can really understand the things of God. The details of that, I don't know. Verse 19, and to know, this is what I was talking about before, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's beyond knowledge, but we have to know it anyway, or he wants us to know it. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. That's a great way to live. We have the Spirit of God born within. We try to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God and the love of God. And that's the way to really live and enjoy what we have in the mystery and in this age of grace. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's a lot. To do everything you ask would be great. How about have somebody that's going to do more than you ask? How about somebody that's going to do abundantly more than you ask? No, more than that. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, according to what? The power that worketh in us. It's having Christ born within. It's operating that power with the manifestations, receiving the fruit of the Spirit. That is how God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In verse 21, let's read that again. That's such an awesome verse. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him, unto God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. Isn't that an awesome chapter? We started with the administration of the grace of God, and then we got down to all the great things that happen because we are born again. What a great time. Well, Father, we love you. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for the many things you've given us by your grace. We're thankful that we continue to walk with you and look to you at all times. And enjoy your grace and goodness in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray. Amen.
Amen.